All right, I want to deliver this message, and I think God is going to come right back around to this thing of coming to the table and drawing upon the Holy Spirit. And so, if you will, I want you to turn in Hebrews chapter 10. I think sometimes we maybe oversell titles and we oversell messages and what they can accomplish in our life, but I don't think that's the case today. The thing that I want to share with you today will make every aspect of your life better.
Ooh.
And I don't think I'm overselling that at all. What I'm going to share with you today, it will make every aspect of your life better. But it will take your entire life for us to see if this message takes hold. Now that's odd, isn't it? It will instantly make you better, but it will take all of your life before we will know if you truly got what the message is about today. I'm just preaching on one word today. Anybody know what it is by chance from that? Not so much instantly improved, but a lifetime to know if it took hold. We'll turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. And it says, "For you have need of endurance." There's the word. That is the thing that will instantly make every aspect of your life better. But it'll take your entire life to see if that took hold. So you can't do endurance today. You have to be boldly obedient today over the long haul, and then that qualifies as endurance when the race is finished. And I got to tell you, this runs contrary to the world that we live in, that everything is disposable, right? Everything is disposable. You can throw anything away. You can start again over here. If you don't like that, start again over here. We live in this disposable world, and yet the writer of Hebrews says, you have need of endurance. Now let's finish what it says. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. So what is endurance then? You know, different translations, we use the word perseverance, endurance, patience. And I tried to piece and parcel out those words, and I just got to tell you, my Greek is not good enough for that. So I can't do it. But I've settled on this, that endurance is bearing whatever you must in order that you can have what God has promised. I'm going to say that one more time in case you want to soak on it. Sometimes we have to marinate on something for just a moment, right? Endurance is bearing whatever you must so that you can have what God has promised. Let me tell you the condition real quickly of the folks that this letter of Hebrews was written to. Some people say Paul wrote it. There's some argument as to who wrote it. I don't know. I wasn't there when it was written. But here is kind of the reason it was written, that the group of people it's being written to, they started to have some doubts. You ever had any doubts? Just some general doubt? Some very specific doubt about some of the promises of God? You don't have to raise your hand, because I believe that if you're here in the room and you're breathing, you've had some doubts. Well, this group of people, they were beginning to have some doubts. You see, because Jesus didn't come the way they thought He was going to come. They thought He was going to come as a warrior, as a king riding on a white horse. He came as a baby in a manger, as a carpenter riding on a donkey. And they didn't have a place for that. You ever wanted God to come and you had it in your mind how He was supposed to do it? How's that working out for you? He never seems to come that way for me. I don't know about you. But you see, they had this mindset of how He's supposed to come, and He didn't come that way. There are times, I believe, when we come to church and we expect something to happen and something shows up and it happens a little different. You're like, I ain't planning on that. I don't know what to do. That doesn't fit my paradigm. It doesn't fit the way that I thought something was supposed to happen. And then He left them. He left them and He said, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. And He said, it's better that I go away so I can give you the Holy Spirit. But after a while, they're like, man, it sure be nice to see Him again. You know, it sure be nice to have somebody that I could look into their eyes and I could touch them and I could feel them. Like when Jesus was here, so they were beginning to have some doubts. There was some persecution that was arising, and there were some folks that were ready to just give up. Now, maybe there's somebody in the room. I don't know, in a room this large, it probably wouldn't be that unheard of if there's somebody in the room and you've had some doubts and you're wondering if it's time for you to give up on something or not. Maybe you should go back to something a little bit more familiar, a little more safe in life. Maybe just try something else. You know, in this disposable world, we can just get rid of it, right? And go try something else. So it wouldn't be uncommon if there was somebody in the room that needed to hear this message of of endurance in this disposable world that we live in. And so I said it makes everything better. And so what I want to do is take you through Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 11. There are some good things, some good weapons that the Lord has given us. But endurance will make it better. You see, endurance makes everything that is good better. And so, let's start here. Faith is good, right? Is faith good?
Yes.
Faith is good, but enduring faith is better. Enduring faith is better. Hebrews chapter 11 goes on, and there's this hall of fame of faith of folks who believed in the promises of God. Verse 36 says that they endured. Why? So that when they'd done the will of God, they may receive what was promised. Can I tell you that God's going to keep His promises? One of the most wonderful things the Lord ever showed me was this. He said, Kevin, even when you doubt me, I'm still faithful. And my promises are true even when you don't believe them, Kevin. I will do what I say I'll do, whether you believe me or not. But there were some people that they believed in the promises of God. They had faith in the promises of God, and they held on. They endured. They would not quit. And I want to tell you, hold on, church. Hold on, anybody that's here visiting today, to the promises that God has made in your life. Because there are times when we push against something, and that doggone thing won't move. You ever experienced something like that? You know, that you're praying for something and you clearly know the promise of God associated with that thing, and you pray one time. Y'all caught that, right?
Yeah,
we pray one time. Well, I prayed one time about it and it didn't move. So I went to the drugstore and tried 15 different things, right? So I went and got 12 different friends to give me advice on the subject. But I prayed against it once and it didn't move. I got to tell you, church, where God is taking us, we're going to push against some stuff and the first time it might not move. Because some of this stuff's been around a long time. I want to tell you that when you push against the spirit of poverty in a community, don't think you're going to pray about it one time and it's going to go away. Because see, there's a whole mindset that's developed around that thing that's got to change. That's why Paul said you've got to wrestle with this thing. There are times where you can't give up on the first prayer. When there's healing. We've been sick for a long time and we got to the place. It used to be that if you were sick, we blamed that on the enemy. And when you got well, we thanked the Lord. Now we say that our sickness is from the Lord. And if you speak to healing somebody, well, you're of the devil. How'd that happen? There are this thing of sickness. It's so rooted. I can tell you that there may be times that we'll push against that thing one time and it might not move. I got to tell you, that's why enduring faith is better. Because enduring faith says, I will put my shoulder to it, and I'll grab your shoulder, and collectively, we just simply will not quit. Faith's good, but enduring faith is better. Boldness is good. Amen? There's a place for boldness. Boldness is good, but enduring boldness is better. Look at verse 35. You just got to go one verse up ahead of where we were. It says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Another word for that is your boldness. Don't throw away your boldness, which has a great reward. That word there, it means courage. It means bluntness. Is there anybody in the room that's just blunt? I want to be like you when I grow up. Man, I'll tap dance around something. You know? You probably ought not do that because that's just not going to work. And if you do it, stop it. You know, we just need some people to just look at it and say, just stop it.
Yeah.
Just knock it off. You know, we need some people that are just blunt. You know what? The only answer is Jesus, and you need to come to Him. You need to quit being selfish and you need to surrender your life to Jesus. We just need boldness, right, church?
Amen.
This outspoken, speaking openly. And the writer there, it's like he's saying, don't take this boldness that you should wear like a garment, like a mantle. Don't take it and set it off. That boldness, it has a great reward. I want to take you over to Acts because the church over in Acts, they were experiencing some persecution. And they had been bullied into trying to stop them from sharing the gospel. Now, I would say today that the persecution that we face is more along the lines of this, that when you start talking about the power of God and walking in the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, the persecution you have is very subtle. You know, it's kind of just low lying under the surface. It's like, you don't want to be one of those Christians, do you? Huh? We were talking about that at Celebrate Recovery. Kathy Gaddy was talking about when she encountered some folks here at Ember. She said, they were a little bit weird. If you're just walking into a room and you've seen some people, you might say, they're a little bit weird. She said, but as she kind of was around them a little while longer, she said, her and Chris, this was, I think, when they were sort of new to things. It's been a long time back. They got together one day and they said, you know what? We won't be weird. There's a place at which you just have to be bold, because we can't submit to this low-lying persecution that says, look, you ought not get so happy about the Lord. You really shouldn't believe in all the things that are in the Bible, you know? And I would tell you, church, more than ever, we need boldness to the place that we would say, you know those crazy people we used to be afraid of? We is one. I meant to say it that way. We are the crazy people. We are the ones that we believe God is still who He says He is, that Jesus still died for what He said He died for. We need boldness. And here's the prayer after they had been threatened. They said this. It is Acts chapter 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant to your bondservants that we may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. We need boldness. And I believe that boldness comes when we become filled with the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God comes upon us. If you've ever experienced that, He lives in us. I've heard it said He lives in us for our sake, but He comes upon us for the sake of others. And there are times when the Holy Spirit comes and there's a holy boldness that erupts from that. And I got to tell you, it is time for the milquetoast Christians for us to get some boldness. It is time for us to boldly declare what God has given us, to not shrink back. Let me keep going. Hope's good. Hope, H-O-P-E, hope. Hope is good, but enduring hope is better. A hope that endures. Here's my definition of hope. A joyful expectation of good. That God is going to do what He promised. See, that connects us back to Hebrews verse 36. That God is going to do what He promised. And so what is my hope in? My hope is in Him. Over in Hebrews 11, it's talking about the life of Moses. And it said in Hebrews 11, verse 27, it says, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. You get that? He endured as seeing him who is, let me read it to you again. As seeing him who is unseen. Here's when I lose hope. When I start looking at what is seen and not the one who is unseen.
Yeah.
Does that happen to you? That's when I start losing hope. When I start looking at people, I can tend to lose hope. When I start looking at circumstances and situations, I can start losing hope. When I look at a body of water in front of me and an army behind me, I can lose hope. But Moses endured. Why? Because he kept his eye on the one that's unseen. If you want enduring hope, I can tell you how you get it. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. And every time your eyes get off, you just turn your eyes back to Jesus. You see, that helps us even when we mess up. Well, how do I get back? Just look up. Just look to Him. You see, hope is good, but we need an enduring hope. Because I got to tell you, I don't want to quit. Do you? I don't want to run 9 miles on a 10-mile race. I don't want to get to the end of my life and somebody said, he almost made it. He almost got the promises of God. He almost walked in the power of God. I don't want that. I don't think you do either. So I don't want to quit. I want to get better. I think that ought to be our prayer. God, I don't want to quit. There are times where, actually I do. Right? You wake up some days and you're like, I don't know why, but today I want to quit. You know, I want to quit my job. I want to quit my spouse. I want to quit my kids. I just want to quit everything today. You know? And I'm like, oh, Lord. Okay, that's my flesh. But my spirit says, I don't want to quit. God, I want to get better. I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better parent. You know, I was thinking that that parenting's about the only thing we don't give up on anymore. You know, it's still not socially acceptable to throw your kids away. Thank the Lord. I mean, we throw everything else away, right? And this is nothing against, you know, the situations that we're in. It's just wherever we are now, can we just say that we don't throw anything away? All right, we don't throw relationships away. We don't do anything. We endure. Now, if we've messed up, then we just start again right where we're at. But I'm grateful that at least when it comes to our kids, that it's still not socially acceptable to throw them away. It's like you just stuck with them. You know, that's how it ought to be. Yeah, I think that's how it ought to be in every area. We're just stuck with each other. Now let's not quit. Let's do better. So hope is good, but enduring hope is better. Let me read you verse 23. Just back up. You'll see that I didn't make that up. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. You hear the writer, he's just reminding everybody, he's faithful. He's faithful. He'll do what he says he'll do. Do you hear that? You hear it, June? He's faithful. You hear that? Yeah. Roger, you hear that? He's faithful. Lee's faithful. Dawn, he's faithful. Mark, he's faithful. Pastor Robinson, he's faithful. He's going to do what he says he'll do. Whether you believe it or not. Whether you trust him or not, he's just going to keep being faithful because he don't have any choice. That's just who he is. That is his nature. Now listen to this next verse. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Love's good. You ever experienced true love? Woo, it's good. But if love is good, enduring love is better. And for that, I need to take you to 1 Corinthians 13. Some of you got married under this verse. Anybody know where I'm going with this? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter of love. It says that there is faith and there is hope and there is love. And it says the greatest of these is love. So it covers the things we've already talked about, faith and hope, and now it says love. The greatest of these is love, because it says, man, look at verse 13. I'm going to go fast, but in chapter 13 it says, if you speak with the tongues of men and angels, but you don't have love, man, you just clanging cymbals. You just a racket. You can speak with the gift of prophecy and foretell all mysteries, but if you don't have love, man, you can have the faith, the greatest faith of anybody around, faith greater than anybody around you. But if you don't have love, you can give everything away. You could have put everything in the offering plate when you leave. But if you don't have love, you can surrender your body to being burned. But if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. And so it goes on to say, love is patient. Uh-oh. Love is patient. Love is kind. It goes on. And then my favorite portion of this, it says this. Love bears all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. You hear that? It endures all things. Love never fails. It's like the greater work. You know, there's like two good things, man. If you can only remember two things, remember this. Love God and love others. If you need to just keep it simple, just do that and you'll be fine. You won't need another message if you just walk that out. Love God, love others, except for people. They really make that part difficult. They make all of that difficult. So you'll see some people sometimes and you'll invest in them and you'll be honest and true and trustworthy and they'll turn their back on you. You'll invest yourself in somebody. And you'll get so excited because you start to see them change and they start to make progress. And all of a sudden they turn their back on God and they walk away and they turn their back and they walk away from you. And you go, what just happened? And you give and they take. And you give and they take. And you give and they take. And you get frustrated. And they're not dependable. Have you ever noticed that about humans? Some of them. Some of them are not dependable. You know? I remember one time I was getting up and I was going to meet with a person early in the morning and I thought I was doing just an amazing, loving piece of work because, you know, I was getting up early and going to see this person. And I got there and I knocked on the door and they didn't come to the door. You know why they didn't come to the door? Because they were asleep where I should have been. As I walked away from their house thinking, you know what? I got up early. I drove all the way over here and they're not even awake. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, I get up every morning, Kevin. Anybody know where I'm going with that? I get up every morning, get ready to spend time with you. And there's some mornings, Kevin, you oversleep. I'm like, boom! Man. And so people do things, you know, they start out good and they don't finish. It's the nature kind of reality. It happens in life. It happens in church. But I'll tell you, the most beautiful thing in the world is that when we love with an enduring love, you will encounter the true love of God. Because I don't know if you've noticed this about yourself or not, but there are some times that you start on a good path, but you don't stay on it. I don't know if you've noticed that about yourself. There are times where you make promises that everything's going to be different, and it's different for a few days. But then we go back to some old ways. But do you know that God loves you through it all?
Amen.
You see, when you hear about 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love, you're hearing the love of God. The kind of love that is patient. It bears all things. It endures all things. It hopes all things. Love never fails. When we run into those people, then it gives us an opportunity to encounter this love of God for us. And I have to tell you, I may have told you this before, I'm going to tell you again just because I can. One of the greatest moments of my life was something that the Holy Spirit taught me while driving to the hospital. I was driving to the hospital to visit an addict who was in the hospital, not because they were really sick, but because they had used up far too much of their pain medicine, and now they needed to go to the hospital to finish out the month. And I was mad. I was so mad. Because we talked about that. You know, we talked about that and how we weren't going to do that again. And there they were doing it again. And so I was in my white pickup truck and I was riding out to the hospital and I was going to give them a piece of my mind. You ever done that to somebody? You know, they didn't do what they were supposed to do, or they didn't act the way you thought they should act. And so you're going to straighten them out, right? You were going to give them a piece of your mind. Most of us can't afford it. I couldn't afford it. Thankfully, the Lord stopped me because I was driving my white truck and I got right there on Wilson Street while I was about to make a left to go to the hospital. And the Holy Spirit said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to the hospital. And I'm going to this room and I'm going to tell them that they got to knock this stuff off, that this is foolishness. And he asked me again, what are you doing? Now you say, did he really? I didn't hear an audible voice, but I'm telling you, there are some moments where I have clearly heard from God, and that was one of them. And he said, what are you doing? And he began to teach me. He said, don't go out there and don't go into that room unless you can love that man if he never changes. You hear that? He said, don't even go in the room if you can't love him in such a way that he might never change. Will you still love him? I said, can I have a minute? I'm not to the hospital. I hadn't parked yet. And I had to sort it out. And before I got in there, the Lord had done what he needed to do. And I'm telling you, it's made me a better pastor because of it. Because you deal with people on a daily basis. And people make good progress and then they fall back. People turn their lives over to the Lord and then they'll walk away. And you got to love them through it. You got to love the ones that are walking away as well as the ones that are succeeding. You got to love them all the same. You know why? Because he does. That's how he loves them. His love never changed for the man in that room. It was perfect. You see, that's the way God is. That's why we have to endure. It's because we don't always get it right. How many of you can play that piano up there? How many of you know how to play a piano? Raise your hand. Okay. Not very many, right? Not very many. It's got a lot of keys on it. That one's got buttons and all that kind of stuff. Now, most of us can't play the piano. Is that the piano's fault? Huh? Clearly, right? It must be something wrong with the piano. Because if the piano was right, then all of us would be able to play. Isn't that right? Nah, you know what you got to do if you want to play that piano? You got to want it. And you got to practice. And you got to endure when everybody else is off doing their thing, having some fun. You got to be at the keys playing. And when you start out, you're not that good at it. But you get a little better and a little better and a little better. And before long, you don't even realize it, but you're pretty good. You see, I believe that's the way it works with the promises of God. There ain't anything wrong with the promises of God. They're not broken. We just simply haven't endured. We hadn't wanted it. There's some things that it says about healing that we don't want enough to practice. There's some things that it says about finances that, frankly, we don't want enough to practice. There's some things that it says about relationships, and frankly, we don't want them enough to practice. There's nothing wrong with the promises. It's just like the keyboard. It's in good shape. It'll play pretty. But you got to endure and you got to practice. Yeah. You have need of endurance. Can I go back there? Hebrews chapter 10. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. I want to kind of end this thing on promises with this analogy, I guess you would call it, that the Lord gave me this week. I was reminded of a young man. My father may remember this young man. I was reminded of a young man who at about 12 years old, for whatever reason, wanted a set of keys to the house. Now, what does a 12-year-old need with a set of keys to the house? I can't drive. So wherever I'm going, he's taking me. And if I need to get into the house, guess who got me there? He did. And he's got a set. And I can use his set. But at 12 years old, I wanted a set of keys. And my dad said, "Not now, son. Not now. But one day." And along the way, he would do some stuff like, "Hey, son, you need to clean your room up." And I'm like, "Clean my room up? Who cleans their room? I don't want to clean my room up. You know? Hey, son, I need some help out in the yard." I don't want help out in the yard. You know? I want keys to the house. You know? Clean up a room. Huh? He'd give me these other little tasks, you know, of like helping me to become responsible in the world, you know? And I didn't want anything to do with any of those lessons. I just wanted keys to the house. Well, as things go along, and thankfully he was able to coax me into all of those things and help build this responsibility until the age of about, whatever, 15 or 16, when it's time to drive. And I was ready, and we had practiced. You know what he did? He gave me a set of keys to the car. And then when I was old enough to drive by myself, you know what he did? He gave me a set of keys to the house. And as I look back on this now, here's what I realized. It was always my father's intention to give me the keys. Do you see where I'm going with this? It was always my father's intention to give me the keys. Keys mean access, by the way. They represent access to things that the Father has. And so go over to Matthew chapter 16. It was always my father's heart to give me the keys. I just wasn't quite ready. And so what he was doing is he was getting me ready. But see, I didn't like those smaller lessons that were building up my responsibility, building up this character that I needed to handle a set of keys. I didn't want anything to do with that. Just give me the keys, right? Yeah. One of the worst things that can happen to us is that God gives us access to something that we can't handle. Yeah? Yeah. So you know what we really need at the end of the day to handle all the promises of God? We need character. And that's what all of this endurance is about, is that it's just built into the system. You know, my dad knew that this thing was just built into the system. All these little things were building up to this day when he was going to hand me the keys and I would be ready. But he didn't want to just give me the keys to his car and his house. His ultimate goal was for me to have my own car. He said, "Praise the Lord, you can put gas in it." And my own house, and he said, "Praise the Lord, you can pay for the mortgage and the insurance and all that stuff." Yeah? And you know what happens now? Now I got keys to my house and his house. I think there's a spiritual lesson in that if we'll pay attention to it. Is it okay if I give you that analogy and let you spend some time on it? The Father has always wanted you to have His promises. He always intended for you to have everything that He says in His Word. But He's trying to develop your character so that you can handle the favor of God. There's glory about it. The gentleman that was here, he grabbed me just a minute ago before we started the message, and he was talking about the glory of God coming. You know, the glory of God means weight. Do you realize that? There is a weight to the glory of God. There is a weight to the goodness of God. Some of us can't handle it yet. Yeah, we're not ready. The problem is not that the Father wants to withhold the keys. He doesn't want the responsibility to crush you. And so it is these challenges in life that is building up our character so that when we do have this access, we will be able to handle it. Faith is powerful. It is what brings heaven to earth. You can't be running around the earth like a magician with a wand just doing all kind of junk. You see, there is a responsibility to faith, and it is endurance that builds it. Boldness, you need boldness. But you can be foolishly bold, right? You can be bold in the wrong directions. So it's over time that we develop the kind of endurance that we need to have a righteous boldness. Hope is good. It's powerful. But it has to suffer through some things in order to build its strength. The Father wants to give you access to all the promises. Endurance is required. But you can't be that today. So you know what you can be today? You can be bold and obedient today. I'm going to say that one more time. You can't endure just today. See, it'll take your whole life to do that. You're going to have to work on that your whole life. You can't just have that today. What you can have today, though, is boldness and obedience. So here's one I want to ask you. Do you want the promises of God for your life? Then I want to challenge you to pursue bold obedience. You have need of endurance. So that when you've done the will of God, obedience, you might have the promises. Here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you to the one thing that you can do today. Today you can be bold, and today you can be obedient. In fact, we ought to just say that. Say that. Today I can be bold. Today I can be bold. Say it one more time. Today I can be bold. Today I can be obedient. Yeah, we don't want to be like that little kid that says, nah, I don't want to be obedient today. I want to have the big stuff. Nah, I can be obedient today. And that will prepare me for tomorrow. So here's what I want to do. We need to stir each other up. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to just stir you up for a little bit. There is more. There is more. There is more that God wants to do in you. There is more that God wants to do through you. He wants to demonstrate Himself faithful for the entire world. He wants to demonstrate His power. He's going to do it through you. But He's looking for somebody who will pray for boldness. He's looking for somebody that will be obedient right now with this thing in front of them. I don't know what that is. Just do it. Okay? You know what it is. What's God calling you to do? Just do it. Just say yes to it. Just be obedient today. And you're like, well, what do I do tomorrow? Just wake up and be bold and be obedient. Just do what God tells you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand. I have found that we cannot be bold without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so some of you may need that. You may need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to just overflowing. And if so, I want to invite you down. And our folks that minister on a regular basis, I would pray that nobody gets down to this altar and is left alone. Can you ensure that that doesn't happen? That nobody comes down to this altar wanting to be filled with the Spirit of God and nobody helps them. So you guys do your thing, all right? Do your thing. And I want to ask you this. If you have to leave, this is where you can, because it'll get a little bit, you know, there's no end to this until we're done, right? So we'll hang out here until we're done. And you may have to go, and if so, that's okay. We thank you for coming. We pray that you will come back. There's more, y'all. And I'm just praying that you'll be so hungry that you'll come to the table and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. It happened a couple of times, at least in Scripture, to the disciples. I figured it can happen a couple of times to us. You know? Many. Fill us up to overflowing, God, so that when we walk out of here, we'll be bold as a lion, ready to do whatever God calls. One last thing. We cannot keep hand delivering the drink and the food of God. At some day, you're going to have to learn to come to the table yourself.
Amen.
Yeah. So don't sit out there in the pews and think that somebody's going to bring it to you. The kingdom of God is for the violent, and the violent take it by force. Be bold and be obedient in Jesus' name, and do it right now, because there ain't any other time.